number two out of bounds. William Quaggan, Miss Kelly Gramlich. We're live in the Priority One Security Studios, where security is their first priority. 654-ROAR is the phone number, the Northern Communication phone lines. If you'd like to get in on the program today, 654-7627-986-1566. The text line is open. Health Dare sponsors the text line. Transform your body in 90 days. I dare you. At Qualk Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar on Twitter if you'd like to get in throughout the program today. Couple of Greenville High School fans talking about the game on Friday. I got a lot of compliments on the game, and I'll just very honestly tell you, like, I don't think I was bad calling it, but the game itself was good enough. Like, it was good. And so I appreciate the kind words, but a lot of that has to do with the two teams playing. BHP and Greenville were amazing Friday and really enjoyed that. Couldn't think of a better way to close out our high school football season than with that game, with those stakes, a region championship, with the lead changes and the late touchdown and the fireworks and the big plays and everything. It was unreal. And a great atmosphere in Honeypat, too. Really good.
We also have something to announce in regards to Tigers for Tatas. Are you about to get to that?
Keep that clapper handy.
Oh, well,
you want to make this announcement?
Do you want to do it?
You can do it. You see it.
Okay, I'll do it. Because it's unbelievable. So we have our GoFundMe page, as you guys know. GoFundMe.com/WCCP, Tigers for Tatas. And our goal was $2,000. And right now we're at 4,720. And this is in addition to all the bands we've sold. I mean, we're approaching the $13,000, $14,000 mark now, which Priority One will match and bring that up to like close to $30,000, which is just crazy. But one thing I want to tell you guys, recently, this happened 9 minutes ago, according to the recent website here, what I'm looking at. We had an anonymous donor give $1,000 on the Tigers for Tatas page.
That's crazy.
Anonymous donor. And I can see his name because I'm the administrator. I'm just going to say his name is David because that is his name.
Okay.
But obviously he wanted to be anonymous and that's just amazing. So round of applause, Quaq. I mean, oh my gosh, $1,000 and people keep contributing and keep just showing their generosity for this great cause. And we're just very thankful. So I'm going to give a round of applause for David.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. That really is great. Anyway, you can get in on the phones today. I know people are upset about the cut blocking and things of that nature. I think all of this kind of goes back to my overarching point, which is that Georgia Tech has no chance to move the ball against Clemson without doing some dirty pool tactics. We'll discuss. This hour is brought to you by Hanover Mortgage. You found your dream home. Now it's time to find mortgage financing. I can attest to this from personal experience. It can be daunting. That process is, it can be a nightmare. It can be a frustration at times. And you've got to make sure you've got, I had a great mortgage experience, really. I mean, based on some of the stuff that I said, I had a fine mortgage experience. A lot of people don't have it. They just don't have that type of experience. You don't know what to look for. What about a Clemson grad, born and raised in the upstate, knows the area, offers a personalized mortgage experience? That's Zeke Godfrey at Hanover Mortgage. He'll make your home buying experience a breeze, can guide you through the mortgage process smoothly, and he'll get you in that dream home quickly. Call Zeke at Hanover Mortgage today, 516-1376. That's 864-516-1376.
Is it time for you to wrap?
A little bit. Swag Surfing is, that's a little bit of time. We're going to wrap for a little bit. I want to make sure we familiarize people with the song Swag Surfing.
Educate the people.
Want to make sure that we know. This is a song that was released, I believe, in 2009. It has recently, in speaking with folks close to the program, it has recently become somewhat of an anthem among the Clemson football players. It came out when I was in college, all right?
And a while ago.
It was a while ago. And so this is something that I'm very familiar with, having attempted the dance many a time.
Oh, no.
And, you know, with some familiarity with the chorus. For some of you, you've been exposed to it at Memorial Stadium, but you probably didn't know exactly what you were listening to or why it's important or what the song is about. And so I just want to familiarize you with the words that you might have heard as the Clemson defensive line, who was so bored with defending Georgia Tech's option that they danced in unison to this song. Man, I got that swag. My hat matches my bag. You know I'm popping tags. Because, man, I got that swag. That's the intro. And it sounds a little like this. Man, I got that swag. My hat matches my bag. You know I'm popping tags. Because, man, I got that swag. And then the beat drops and everyone goes nuts, right? So that was that pretty good, Kelly? Was that pretty good? Was that pretty good? I try to give the people the
right,
and then you got the like the real light instrumental, and then the beat drops in the bass.
I prefer the light instrumental. Yeah. Thank you. So, honestly, I kind of like the first one because, you know, you said it in a very, how do I put this? Just, you know, a very, you pronounced every word. Let's put it that way. And yeah. Then you gave us more the actual song version, which I appreciated the contrast of the two.
I'm not as white as Roy Philpott, but I tried to channel my Roy Philpott, my inner Roy Philpott.
Interesting.
In the lyrics. Here's what the part that they dance to, here's what it says. I'm on hypnotic, exotic, this polo on my body, got a bad girl beside me and her new friend right behind me, and I'm swagging, I'm surfing, I'm swagging, I'm surfing, I'm swagging, I'm surfing. That's what it says. I'm clean like dish detergent on Patron. Yeah, I'm gone. Purple by the zone. Yeah, I'm smoking strong. And you know I'm gone because I'm swagging. I'm surfing. I'm swagging. I'm surfing. I'm swagging. I'm surfing. I'm clean like dish detergent. So there you go. There's some references in there that you might not want to ask your kids about or like let them.
Sure.
They're like if your kids ask me what that means, I'm clean like dish detergent. Don't answer that. Purple by the zone. Don't worry about that one. It's just about swag surfing. That's what it is.
That was pretty good.
But what?
Now I will say, because a texter said, I think I can say it. Texter gets in white. That's the word, Kelly. I wanted to say that the first version you just sounded quite Caucasian, but I didn't know if I should say that, but you did.
Can we play it?
But that you sounded. I mean, you sounded like you had some swag, low key.
We got to make sure that versions are clean when we play them. Can we play it in the next segment?
We can. That's one of my biggest fears, though, when you ask me to play some sort of song, is that it tells me it's the clean version, and it's not, and then I get fired. That's literally one of my nightmares.
So we're going to have to screen it, but we will play it. Just for people who are very caught off guard.
Yeah.
For people not of the millennial persuasion who are like, what is this? Why are they dancing? That's a great dance that they're doing. It looks like they're doing some sort of a waltz. That's not a waltz they were doing.
The Charleston.
Slide, slide. I mean, that's what it is. The Charleston, yeah. That's what it looked like they were doing, but no, that's not what it was. It's the greatest thing I've seen.
It was really cool.
It's the most fun thing I've seen the whole the whole season. Nothing will top it.
Agree or disagree with this sentence, and I'm reading this article on TigerNet, which, you know, I love TigerNet, and I love David Hood, who wrote this article, but I just think this sentence is hilarious, okay? It's right below the words of the song, and the sentence reads, "The linemen began to dance, and they knew that all was right in the world."
I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like, when they're dancing, when people are dancing like that, I mean, there are times where people dance. There are times when linemen dance. There are times when the defense gets after it. And some of the songs are more dance-worthy than others. DJ Shea on the ones and twos. But the reality is that they don't dance like that unless they're so, they're not looking at a play. They're so focused on what they're about to do that they can literally not think about that for a second and think about the dance that is happening on the field. That's why I say it's the ultimate disrespect to Georgia Tech. Like, they were not even concerned with what Georgia Tech was about to do or what their assignment was. They were legitimately concerned with the dance at that moment. As Georgia Tech's walking to the line of scrimmage, they are still swag surfing.
Rob,
and they stopped him for loss of two.
Rob gets in on Twitter. What about the swag shag?
That's not it. I can't. I just can't.
On the text line, can we label this one of the greatest segments in radio? Yes, we can. Because Quack Rap. I thought you did a really good job. I thought you did.
I was sitting next to intern Sanders during a game, and I elbowed him. I was like, "Dude, are they swag surfing right now?" We had like a moment while everyone else was kind of figuring it out. It was clear that the students knew what was happening way before everybody else, and for good reason.
Well, yes.
Swag surfing. But I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is sick. I love this. Look at them dancing.
So we might have you do that one more time on the show. Would that be okay?
That's
fine. Maybe an hour three for three listeners.
I mean, there's a couple more verses if you want to go deeper into the song, but...
Can I say that I'm also kind of scared that you're going to be reading it and accidentally say something bad too?
No.
Why am I so paranoid about this?
There are clauses in there. Clause. That's a white way to talk about it.
Clauses?
There are phrases in there. It says, wrapped up in Saran in there.
That's fine.
Pockets on Popeye because they swole off that spinach. Pete's Tree Swag, you can call me Mr. Linux. I mean, like, this is unbelievable. Surfing on the scene, white people, like a young Kelly Slater. I swag when I surf. Now watch me surf and swag. That's the end of verse one.
I remember Kelly Slater.
Kelly Slater.
A surfer.
Exactly.
Another great Kelly in history.
Surfing on the scene like a young
Kelly. What about like Slater? A young Kelly Bryant?
Ooh, Kelly Bryant looked pretty good, didn't he? He looked pretty
good.
It's
amazing what a healthy starting quarterback does, isn't it, though?
Yeah. I thought he
looked really, really good, Quack.
He looked like a quarterback that's had 2 weeks to rest. He never looked gimpy. And you know what? They hit him in the ankle. And I know I'm sure people were doing it. I saw a little bit on Twitter, like, I can't believe they're going for his ankle all the time. Well, they obviously would go for his ankle all the time. If I was a defensive coach and I knew that he was the key to Clemson's offense, I would go for his ankle. I would die for his ankle. You can barely hit the quarterback anywhere as it is. So if he's fair game on his ankle, you got to go for the ankle.
Do you remember the what is more likely we had on Friday?
I remember the one about red zone touchdowns because he did throw a red zone touchdown, barely, yep. 20 yards. Barely
one,
red zone touchdown.
That one came true. And then, obviously, Clemson, it was a push because the spread was 14, but it was definitely under the 49. We called that one. And then the other one we had was, what is more likely, Taquan Marshall passes for 100 or Kelly Bryant rushes for 100, and Kelly Bryant ran for 67, Marshall passed for 32.
Yeah.
If the game was closer and Kelly Bryant had to play the whole game and they had to really, you know, kind of use his full skill set the whole game, he could have easily rushed for 100. Easily.
I think so. But like you said, they didn't have to.
I thought this was one of his better passing games of the whole season.
Especially in the rain. They came out passing it.
I loved that. I was going to mention that. To come out and throw the ball those first two plays and the second one go to the house with Deion Kane, I thought that was such a gutsy move, BYOG, but also just an aggressive move, kind of saying, I don't care what's happening in this game, we're going to be the aggressor. I thought that's what Clemson said on that first drive, and it worked perfectly.
They threw it twice on just basically turn around and wait for the ball, stop routes to Deion Kane, and they got man coverage both times. They got man coverage both times, straight across, they spread them out, and I don't think Georgia Tech was ready for that, but then the next drive, five straight rushes. After they threw it twice, scored a touchdown. Five straight rushes. Then they threw it twice. And then it was the ETN fumble, which I thought that was interesting, too. I don't know if people have got takes on that. Scott Sampson actually brought it up for the first time. We talked about Clemson stopping the option. Georgia Tech got 198 yards, which is amazing for Paul Johnson's offense. He would say it's terrible, but 198 is more than the combined total of the last two previous years.
Mm-hmm.
For Georgia Tech against Clemson. So, hey, progress. 230 total yards progress after the worst performance in the history of Paul Johnson last year.
I mean, if you would have told me before the game that Kervante Benson would rush for 129 yards, I would have thought, huh, I don't love that, you know? But Clemson really made Georgia Tech, who already is so one-dimensional, they made them one-dimensional in that Benson was their only source of offense. And he really just had a few long runs that kind of padded his stats a bit. But Taquan Marshall, 23 total yards, net yardage, obviously, on 15 carries. That's impressive for how good that guy was, you know, how he was touted coming into the game and how he was the best quarterback to run their offense. I thought Clemson did a great job with Taquan Marshall and almost broke him on that one sack in the second quarter. Remember that sack?
Yes.
I thought he was broken. I thought they had broken Taquan Marshall in half.
I felt bad, not for Marshall as much. Not for Marshall as much, but for the kick returner.
Ooh.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, he got broken a few times as well.
He looked like me trying to run in flats on that ground. He kind of did the Looney Tunes, like, whoop, 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 whoop. Like, every time he tried to cut, it was like four steps when he tried to change directions. And he was kind of slow to begin with. And, I mean, Clemson's coverage unit, again, bless his heart, they just destroyed that guy. I felt so bad for him. Who was it? 31 was the guy's number, I know.
It was...
What's his name? I got to find his name.
Oh, shoot.
I'll find it in a second. Nathan Cottrell.
Oh.
Also white. Nathan Cottrell, bless his heart, got utterly destroyed by Clemson's... by Kelly's coverage, or by Clemson's coverage unit. Unbelievable. Kelly Bryant in the game, he did have, I think, his best passing game. He was 22 of 33, two touchdowns, no picks, 207 yards. He made some tough throws, spread the ball around to 12 different guys in the rain.
And he didn't have any of those plays. Some, I think there were a few in Virginia Tech and in the Auburn game where you thought, ooh, that ball could have been picked off. He really didn't have a single one of those. I thought he was almost flawless out there.
There was a throw he made to Travion Thompson.
Yes.
That I think for probably 80% of quarterbacks in the country trying to make that throw, it was on the run from the left hash across the field. And so it wasn't from the left hash to the far sideline, which we've seen him make before. But it was a throw on the run moving that direction. And he absolutely threw a dime that if it was a little bit further out to the side, it would have been incomplete. If it was a little further toward the inside shoulder of Thompson, it would have been intercepted. But he threw it perfectly for a first down. It was one of the best throws I've seen him make. And it goes to my point that the best thing he does is throw the ball sideline to sideline. And it's my argument, I've gotten some pushback on this, but some agree that Kelly Bryant throws the ball to the sideline.
Stop it.
Better than Deshaun Watson.
It.
I think that's the one thing he does better than Deshaun is throw the ball. Not the back shoulder, but like the out route or the comeback.
Stop it.
I think he throws it better than Deshaun. It's the one thing he does better than Deshaun.
Speaking of Deshaun. Can we talk about him in the next segment?
Yeah. Yeah, we can.
Oh, my gosh.
654 Roars, the number 654-7627. I also want to talk a little bit about, because of my commentary on Georgia Tech, I think it contextualizes properly what we have seen on film with the first three plays where they try to take out Dexter Lawrence on that first series of downs twice with illegal blocks. I'll talk about that. I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you what it means.
Let's textualize Tech.
Contextualize. Has a tech writer used that?
I would hope so.
I hope it's...
Otherwise, you're missing out.
I really... Let's get technical. That's somebody's column. That is somebody's column in the A. Piece of A-Town down. Now I'm getting frisky with hip-hop references.
I would say you're getting a little generous. Little generous.
Stay with it. More than come out of bounds in just a moment.
I built this business. Watched it grow. Seen my internet bill from AT&T kept growing, too. Then I heard Spectrum Business would help buy out my contract. That's different.
That's because with Spectrum Business, you don't have to sign a contract to get our best price. 100 meg internet for just $44.99 a month when bundled. Call 888-845-8349.
Glad I switched. Now I'm paying a lot less and getting better internet and phone service.
And with Spectrum Business Voice, you get unlimited calling for only $29.99 a month. No taxes, no hidden fees, and no contracts. So don't get stuck paying for overpriced service. Spectrum Business will buy out your contract so you can save with 100 meg internet for only $44.99 a month when bundled with voice for $29.99 a month. No taxes, no hidden fees, and no contracts. Call 888-845-8349. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with three convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
Ralph Hayes Toyota has been a proud supporter of the Clemson Tigers for many years. Being South Carolina's oldest family-owned and operated Toyota dealership, first and 10 at Ralph Hayes Toyota means having our best sales and service team ready to go. right now. Come test drive the all-new 2018 Toyota Camry with more performance, safety features, and style than ever before. You can even take it home for a lifestyle test drive because we want you to be sure that you're happy with your purchase. Every new and pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUV comes with the Ralph Hayes Family Promise because we put your needs first. We even offer a 3-day, 200-mile money-back guarantee to give you some peace of mind. You'll always find competitive prices, great value, and superior customer satisfaction at Ralph Hayes Toyota. Because when you buy from us, you're part of the family. Ralph Hayes and the Clemson Tigers, a winning combination. Shop 24/7 at RalphHayesToyota.com. Go Clemson!
We wrote the book on price. Ralph Hayes Toyota.
Rely on EnviroMulch, supplying quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their fall special, get double ground hardwood mulch for just $20 per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply from your friends at EnviroMulch. Go Tigers.
It's auction time again. Saturday, November 4th, Johnny King Auctioneers returns to Hollis Jackson Farm in Inman, South Carolina. Selling farm and construction equipment, cars, trucks, golf carts, tools, and more. Anybody can buy or sell. Visit jkauctions.com for details and photos. Check the website daily for updates. Bid live at the auction or online from anywhere that you have a connection. That's Saturday, November 4th at 566 Edwards Road in Inman, South Carolina. Johnny King Auctioneers, bringing buyers and sellers together. Go Tigers!
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom just because. Online purchase and print from your computer only at urbannirvana.com.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. The South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles is now accepting documents for you to change your current card to a federally approved Real ID. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV. Driving privileges and good standing. A regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license. And a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
Sports on the quirky side. It's Out of Bounds.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball.
Now, back to William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
It's too hard to sleep. I got the sheets on the floor. Nothing on me. And I can't take it no more. It's 100 degrees. I got 1 foot out the door. Where are my keys?
Okay, I was gonna compose myself. Welcome back. I can't believe you kept reading that. I was gonna be composed coming back and say, we have some breaking news. Breaking news.
Headline of the year. It's coming.
That's a great head. This is better than one I saw on Twitter yesterday that I can't repeat on air, but was hilarious.
It's really sad that today's not Wednesday and this couldn't be a hump day headline, but we have to tell you now.
This is a Monday headline.
It's breaking news.
Of champions.
From our friends at the Anderson Independent, who you can find my column there too. Go
champions
find this article.
Of headlines.
Are you ready?
Yes. What are the chances you get through this?
Trying to compose myself. We pride ourselves on reporting local news.
We do. And we want to be where you are. We want to be where the people are.
Live and local. 13 hours.
Which
a day.
I think I just quoted the Little Mermaid there. But whatever.
You're not helping me.
Go ahead.
Deer breaks into Seneca Bank.
That's funny enough. Let's stop right there. Deer breaks into Seneca Bank. Think what that means, okay? Just think about what that means. We know there are stories, like, you know, you had the Gold's Gym in Anderson, I think, where they had, like, some kind of an animal, like a deer, like, bust through the window and run around the workout equipment. They couldn't get it out or whatever. We know that happened last year. Every now and then you get one of these stories, and sometimes it involves, like, serious injury to people because, like, a deer is supposed to be roaming freely.
No people were hurt, from what we can tell in this article.
Okay, I'm glad. Hopefully this is after hours.
All right, let me finish the headline for you. Deer breaks into Seneca Bank, carried out without so much as a buck.
Oh, Oh, give that man a raise. Oh, or woman, whoever came up with that headline.
Written by Matt or Mike Ellis of the Anderson Independent. I'm just going to give you a few highlights, okay?
This is officially my favorite day.
The deer smashed through a window at BB&T Bank on Highway 123. The deer apparently broke off an antler when it went to the building, so there was blood on the walls and the carpet. The deer also smashed some of the drywall in the building and inside for roughly half an hour before officers were able to use a blanket in a corner to capture the deer and release him behind the building, Oliver said. Oliver is the Seneca Fire Department chief. He continues, quote, he just went off like he was back home, Oliver said. And of course, thank you for the context here. He said he and the other firefighters often watch deer nearby, but it is the first case of a deer in a building in Seneca in at least 30 years.
Hey, do we know about the deer? Like, did they find it? Or did the deer come in and escape?
So they got him out. They captured him with a blanket in a corner, and they set him off in the wild, and he said that he just went off like he was back home, so he was fine.
Okay, so they got the deer, and so they found identification on the deer.
He had some injuries to his antlers because he got blood on the carpet and the walls in the bank, which is very eerie. But apparently, I think his antlers are going to heal.
My question really is it a known burglar, or can we say the deer is a Jane Doe?
Does this deer have a record is really the question. I mean, did we kind of see this coming? Were there warning signs?
You missed it.
What did you just say?
You missed it.
Say it again.
Do we know the identity of the burglar, or is it a Jane Doe?
It's a buck, though. It can't be a doe.
You got to make deer jokes. We got deer jokes here on the program today. Unbelievable.
Texter gets in, this is why we hunt, people.
this right here is a perfect illustration of the frustration. Like, I can imagine if Paul Johnson reacting, like, every time he tries to go up against Clemson, like, he's gone up against them in scout team in practice all week long, and every time he goes up against them in a game, it feels like a deer running around with a broken antler in a bank.
In Seneca.
Like, it feels chaotic. He doesn't know what to do. He's yelling and screaming and throwing a fit. He yelled at his running back for fumbling the ball, which, frankly, if he hadn't fumbled the ball, they might have gotten one additional first down before Clemson, came to his senses. But I do think it's fascinating that you're not seeing instances later in the game of high-low blocks on Dexter Lawrence. You want to read it? I see it. You want to read it?
I love our texters. I love them. Texter gets in on the Health Deer text line. That deer almost got out of the bank with a whole lot of dough. Bravo.
Oh, yeah. I guess technically, since it's a buck, it will be a John Doe, not a Jane Doe, but I don't know. Anyway, that's unbelievable. Another texter says, work for BB&T. The deer's going to be fine. Don't think it's on our watch list. Someone else said, I was just at that bank. Looked like someone robbed it. 9:30 this
morning. Someone did rob it, a deer.
But they made out with it. You can see investigators like, they didn't take anything.
Like, but the registers blood are everywhere. Full.
The safe is fine. There's blood everywhere. But there are no casualties. There are no bodies. And there's no trail leading away. There's no prints. Only these circles. Anyway. Back to the ball game. Come on, people. Back to sports, Qual. Come on.
It was my fault.
Unbelievable. Back to the game. Have you seen a video of Dexter Lawrence being high-low blocked the second and third plays? You've seen it.
Yes.
Did anything surprise you about that? What stood out to you about those videos that we've seen?
It really didn't surprise me. That's what Georgia Tech does. I mean, should it be illegal? Yes. Was it dirty? You bet. Do I shudder? I don't like watching it because we know Dexter Lawrence has that screw in his foot and I just don't even want to think about, you know, them going for his legs. But that's what Georgia Tech does.
Yes. However, did you notice anything about the remainder of the game? someone tweeted the third play of the game at me and Ben and maybe Brad and some other, but I don't know exactly who was tagging on it, but there were people tagged in it. And then I saw Larry Williams tweet the second and third plays.
Oh, I was tagged in it because okay. I got the notifications.
You had the whole thread. All right, so here's my principal issue with this, okay? If your argument is the cut block, that it's just a cut block, it's a poorly placed cut block, then I would argue that Georgia Tech cut blocked the entire game, and they ran how many offensive plays? They ran, 58 offensive plays or some 56 offensive plays? What was the number there? 56 plays. Did Larry Williams watch the whole game, you think? Did he watch the whole game?
Knowing Larry Williams, probably, yeah.
Okay. You ever wonder why there were only instances in the first three plays? Like, wouldn't you think if you cut blocked every run play that you would just by mistake sometime? Like, somebody goes the wrong way. Like, I've seen it before. Somebody goes the wrong way, and they end up getting a chop block. And you know it's because somebody went the wrong way because a free blitzer comes in right behind them that they were supposed to pick up. Somebody misses a blocking assignment. Happened twice in the first three plays, and he got high-low blocked. That doesn't seem like an accident. That doesn't seem like something that happens because you cut block. That seems like their goal in the first three. But I mean, again, I'm just going by what I see.
Pontificating.
It seems like their goal in the first three plays was to take Dexter Lawrence out of the game. And the reason they do that is because they know, Georgia Tech knows, that there is a 0.0000% chance, if the status quo remains the same, that they're ever going to be Clemson. It shows me that Paul Johnson knew that he had to injure and remove from the game one of Clemson's players if he had any chance at all to run the football. I think about, again, whether it's dirty or not, like, that's for the league to decide, and I think we all could probably agree that it looks dirty because they didn't do it 10 times and they didn't do it the second snap and the 50th snap. They did it the second and third snaps back-to-back in the same general way. Paul Johnson knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if he was to win the game against Clemson, he would need to injure Clemson's defensive tackles. That is what this is about. He needed to move Dexter Lawrence from the field to the sideline permanently, or else he was going to lose. I fully believe, again, this sounds ridiculous because of what I'm accusing. I fully believe that that was part of their game plan coming into the game to do that and see what happened. Fully believe it, 100%, because they weren't winning otherwise, and Paul Johnson wants to win the game. Am I being unfair here?
I mean, I totally see your point, and I think it's valid, and obviously I understand how that would benefit Georgia Tech if somehow, for some reason, Dexter Lawrence or Christian Wilkins couldn't go, knowing, again, like I said on Friday, that lack of, you know, at least All-American depth at defensive tackle. Now, do I want to assume that Paul Johnson is trying to injure one of Clemson's best players? No. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to assume that. And I hope that's not the case. But, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that your theory is completely wrong.
I wish it wasn't the case. I wish that wasn't the thing that makes the most sense. But would you agree that
it's odd, and all of the signs point to this idea. I'm supporting you on that for sure.
The cut block is a danger. I mean, I've talked to my grandpa about this because cut blocking used to be in vogue more so in the past than it is now because of the type of offenses people run. Cut blocks are not dangerous if you prepare for cut blocks. Cut blocks become dangerous when people misuse cut blocks, or like if you just get cut blocked, you're not going to get hurt. If you just get cut, if somebody just chops you down, because you know what? People cut block, Clemson cut blocks sometimes. Every team cut blocks. If you're trying to throw slants over the middle, guess what linemen are taught to do? Take the legs out of the defensive line so that the pass goes over the middle. Three-step drop, throw the ball over the middle, they go down. They don't try to pass block, they go down. They try to take the legs out. If players know how to beat a cut block or how to engage a cut block, you don't have to get hurt with a cut block. What's not okay is when you're engaged up top and somebody takes your legs out because you can't brace for that. That's why it's a 15-yard penalty. I think the fact that they did it the second and third plays, and nobody who's rewatched the game has found any other instance that Dexter Lawrence's legs were taken out, tells me full well that it wasn't just a couple of random mistakes. That's not a coincidence. That tells me that Paul Johnson knows that he has no chance to beat Clemson unless he injures Trevor Lawrence. And because I feel
Dexter
that way.
Dexter Lawrence.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence.
Hold on now. Don't be spreading other rumors. Whoa. That, yeah. What?
Whoa. Compliance is going to be on me for that one. That's what we need to remember next year about Georgia Tech. Because there were some concerns. I wouldn't say grave concerns. Most of the concerns about Kelly Bryant. But there were some concerns about this is the best quarterback that Paul Johnson's ever had. Their interior offensive line is the best that they've had in a long time. Their receiver, Ricky June, is a very good receiver. Their receivers block down the field better than they have in the line. We hear this all the time about Georgia Tech, and the reality is that none of that ever means that Clemson is worse or that Clemson is worse equipped to deal with that offense. Next year, again, we should start a flow chart. In fact, I may just draw up the graphic. Go ahead and have it in reserve in my drafts for next year. Can Georgia Tech run the dive? If the answer is yes, then just add some gibberish. If the answer is no, stop, because they're not winning. And if Dexter Lawrence is still there next year, he is. If Brent Venables is still coaching next year, he probably will be. Then Georgia Tech, again, no matter if their team looks like world beaters from the point the season starts to the point that game happens, they will not beat Clemson running that system. They won't. The other reason for that is because Clemson's so good up front. We'll talk about this a little bit later on. The speed of Clemson's defense overwhelmed Georgia Tech's quarterback to the point that he basically, it was like in Batman when the Scarecrow sprays the stuff and you see your worst fear. Every time Taquan Marshall tried to run or throw, he saw like five defenders where he should have been seeing one. We use the expression seeing ghosts. Taquan Marshall saw ghosts, and it made him make poor decisions from the opening snap of the game to the very end. Every time he had to make a decision on the run, he basically panicked and fell. He had no chance.
Texter gets in and says, maybe the refs gave them a warning, and they quit doing it. Do you buy that at all in terms of the trying to go at Dexter Lawrence?
If that's the case, then the officials ought to be banned from ever calling games again. If you saw that block take place, then you got to flag it. That's not a block that you just say, hey, you guys cut it out.
You acknowledge it with a warning and not a flag.
That's a dangerous play.
That's kind of a problem.
That's not, hey, you're grabbing on a half second too long, you got to watch that. Or, hey, you might be jumping here, I'm going to watch you, be careful. It's not like one of those. Or like in basketball where referees, I mean, a lot of times you sit courtside, you hear referees say, get your hand off. And when he doesn't. When he puts his hand back on, you blow the whistle.
But you're also
not like that.
You're not at risk at hurting someone just because you're hand checking. I mean, very rarely, of course.
If you come up underneath somebody trying to dunk and you like come up underneath them, the referee's not going to be like, hey, that's a warning before he calls the foul. You caught dangerous plays. You got to call that flag. If a referee saw that and didn't throw the flag, they should be ashamed of themselves and they should be banned from ever calling ball again. They should be banned from calling ball. That's unbelievable. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. More of this conversation. More on Taquan Marshall seeing ghosts when we come out. I thought that was a fascinating part of the game. And it explains things that don't otherwise make sense. We'll be back for more in a moment.
Hey, Clemson fans. Join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
In October, it's all about the Tatas. Tigers for Tatas. The last Tigers for Tatas event is happening on Wednesday at Locomart. Join Kwok and Kelly as they broadcast Out of Bounds at Locomart, home of the lowest gas prices in town, great selection of craft beer, and great snacks for the road. Come by and talk sports with Kwok and Kelly and get your Tigers for Tatas wristband. All proceeds go to the All In Foundation. We'll see you at Locomart Wednesday from noon till 3. 480 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your Daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your national champion Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clemson's 24-10 victory over Georgia Tech on Saturday night in Memorial Stadium moved Clemson to 7-1 now on the season. It was win 300 for the Tigers in Death Valley, as now Clemson improves to 300-102-7 all-time in Death Valley, dating back, of course, to when it debuted in 1942. Clemson improved to 38-3 in the last 41 games dating back to 2014. And Clemson is now 27-1 in its last 28 games and 44-3 in its last 47 home games. Clemson improved to 19-17 against Georgia Tech since the Yellow Jackets joined the Atlantic Coast Conference in 1983. The win, by the way, was the third in a row for Clemson over Georgia Tech. Head coach Dabo Swinney improved now to 6-5 all-time against the Yellow Jackets, 5-1 against the Yellow Jackets in Memorial Stadium. And, of course, the one loss that he suffered in Death Valley was back in 2008 when he was named the interim coach. And, of course, his first game was against Georgia Tech, and the Tigers suffered a loss in that one. Clemson will head to Raleigh to take on the Wolfpack of NC State. More on that later in the week. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
As a business, you want a clean facility for your customers, your staff, and your guests. Turn to the best in the industry, JanPro. You are hiring a company whose staff is certified, not just trained. They're insured and bonded, and they go through an intense 5-week certification program. They're local business owners growing the local economy, and they can do more than just cleaning. You'll be more than satisfied with the JanPro team on your team. You'll be amazed. Call JanPro today at 458-3053.
Everyone has someone in their lives that could use a little surprise, a little pick-me-up. You want to deliver those smiles, but who has the time? School, work, and more. Try Urban Nirvana's online gift certificate. Buy and print it right from your own computer. A great way to treat your wife for making all those tailgate preparations, your college student for all the hard work, or mom just because. Online purchase and print from your computer only at urbannirvana.com.
When playing football for Coach Sweeney, I learned the value of hard work and doing things the right way. My name is John Wright Jr., and now that I'm in the field of commercial real estate, I have the opportunity to apply those principles in my daily business. If you're in the market for buying, selling, or leasing property from office or retail to industrial or land, then let me know at McCoyWright.com. That's McCoyWright.com, where we will do our best to ensure your success. And remember, if it's not McCoy Wright, it's not right.
Are you looking to trade in and trade up your old bat and glove? Well, come into First Team Sports now to trade in your used bat or glove in any condition and receive 10% off your new bat or glove, limit one per customer. And the old bats and gloves will be donated to missions in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic to benefit those children in need. Be a part of the relief with First Team Sports. Visit today at 2520 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Retrauma, in cooperation with Ready SC, is seeking applicants for full-time direct hire second shift positions at its new facility and more. Employment opportunities include coding, casting machine operators, material handlers, and converting slitting operators. Retrauma manufactures a full line of pressure-sensitive adhesive rolled stock material for the beverage, health, and beauty, OEM, graphics, and industrial markets. Retrauma offers competitive wages and full benefits package. Go to sctechjobs.com for full descriptions and to apply today. Retrauma is an equal opportunity employer.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
They never lose their cool.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Don't be so quick to walk away. That's me. I wanna rock your body. Please stay.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Boy, we're just doing all kinds of musical goodness here today with Swag Surfing and JT. Could JT remix Swag Surfing?
Got time, but I don't mind.
JT can do anything. So, yeah.
Yeah. My voice is a little weak after, you know, being up till 3 in the morning the last 2 days. Ugh.
I feel kind of hoarse. Yeah, and I think can hear that.
I'm a little weak.
I was screaming a lot on Saturday when I was down with the common man.
The atmosphere was great. It was great for the first half. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like people who have been tailgating all day and are wet and frustrated. And when your team is dominant, that also helps.
You think frustrated because it's coming off a loss.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There was no time during the game where Clemson fans were frustrated.
And it wasn't the Notre Dame game where you're like, I can't wait to tell my grandkids I was here. Like, that wasn't a thing. Like, no one thought that this game was going to be an elite game. So if you showed up, you were kind of a little bit mad that you even came in the first place. A little bit. Little part of you is like, I wish I was dry right now. You might love Clemson. You might and you've been to every game for 50 years. I feel like there's a little party that's like, gosh, I wish I was on a couch right now.
I'll tell the grandkids that that game was when I became a woman of the people. And my co-host at the time was up in the box. That's what I'll tell them.
That's okay. Pressing the flesh, shaking hands and kissing babies.
Fist bumping.
That's right. We've gotten some texts here. Brandon says, just rewatched first series with Tech and Dex Lawrence, and it's ridiculously obvious they were trying to hurt Lawrence. All right? So that's one perspective. Then on the health there text line, Mike says, I don't think it was intentional. I saw the center try to cross to LB. Who is LB? I guess the linebacker. But Lawrence on a slant tied him up, plus the guard cut. Here would be my, and Ben Milstead and I talked about this during the break. By the way, not one time, the cut blocking team like Georgia Tech, not one time did they recklessly cut block below somebody who was engaged over the top. Not one time in 56 snaps or whatever did they get called for any type of 15-yard penalty. We really think that happened? We really think that's possible? Are they that precise? A team that was routinely stopped for negative gains, never once resorted to underhanded tactics to try to move the ball? Please, give me a break. Paul Johnson's a competitor. He knows the deal. Even if he's trying to get to the linebacker, here's the thing. I don't understand for the life of me why, if you look at the play, particularly the one that has caused the most consternation, the short gain on 3rd and 2 where he gets 2 yards. The give is to the B-back? Right behind, I get confused, what's the A and the B, whatever. The one behind the quarterback.
I believe it was the K-back.
The K-back?
No, the J-back. The T-back.
The back behind the quarterback.
The B-back.
Gets the ball and is off the right guard or something. It's over to the right side. The cut block comes behind the play. So essentially, if that block is executed correctly, you chop the legs off of Dexter Lawrence. I don't know why I'm saying it. You chop the legs off of Dexter Lawrence, and he falls forward into the hole. You see what I'm saying, Kelly? Like, if you're trying to cut block somebody, get him out of the way, then you would cut block behind him. You wouldn't try to block a mammoth man into the hole where he might actually sit on your running back.
And what did you say? Behind. Dexter Lawrence only played 14 snaps, right?
14 snaps, that's right.
To me, it kind of seems like Dabo saw a little bit, or whoever was in charge, maybe Brent Venables, whoever, saw a little bit of what Georgia Tech was trying to do and said no. No. I mean, Dexter Lawrence, he was limping a bit. It seemed like he was rolled up on and something had happened and they just said, we're not risking this. There's just no way.
You could question the legality of what they did. You could question the legality of what they did.
One could.
You could. And we could argue about that. The reality is, it's a dirty play. Forget legal, illegal, with the rules, against the rules, whatever. It's a dirty play. If you look at the replay, 2 of the first 3 plays, Dexter Lawrence's knees were taken out by dirty tactics because Georgia Tech knew that in spite of all the things that we heard all week long about how much better they were and how much different the option was and how much different the offense was, that if Dexter Lawrence played in a game, that they were going to get destroyed. And they actually did neutralize Dexter Lawrence to some degree, and they still got destroyed in the game, which gives me even more pleasure, quite frankly. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines. Ben in Clemson's up with us next. What's up, Ben?
Oh, it's all good, Quark. It's all good. Glad to get back on the right side of the ledger, that's for sure.
Yes, sir.
The untimely break. You know, one thing I was thinking when you and Kelly kind of stirred this thought in your segment, it looked to me like the ref came over and had a word of prayer with the Tech offensive line guy after that second play. And I'm thinking, you know, just from my standpoint, I was thinking, you know, it probably was a very stern warning that, hey, I think I saw what I think I saw. I'm not sure, but I better not see it again. And, you know, and probably clean that up. It's definitely a tactic. I think Coach Johnson's been on record. It's, you know, cut blocking is their method, just as it was, I think, when Coach Grove was at Wake. And it's right on the edge of it. I do think it should be illegal, but it's not illegal. But as you bring up, that doesn't necessarily make it not dirty. But, you know, my thought is I think the ref cleaned that up without actually calling a penalty on it and nipped it in the bud. And that was kind of my thought after I saw that, because, you know, it just looked like they didn't really get close to going there from what I could see, the balance of the game. But, you know, glad nobody was hurt on either side. And I really appreciate you guys. You guys really make my afternoons. Could you help me? We've got a little pool over here on campus in our office with the going, as our tradition with the Tiger games every week. And I'm ahead now, but they're pulling tight. I need a little help for the Tigers versus Wolfpack. Kind of got on Tigers by 10, but I could move off of that if you guys could convince me. But I'll hang up and enjoy the rest of your show. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate the phone call. You know, there were some things that I saw in the Notre Dame NC State game I was watching while doing the tailgate show, which is always a little bit fuzzy. I saw some things that I did not like about NC State, like how Notre Dame just mauled them up front. And I don't think Clemson could do that. I do not think Clemson could do that. But I was a little bit concerned at how, without the threat of legit, I mean, they passed it some. But without the threat of passing, they just lined up and ran at them. They ran at NC State. They neutralized the pass rushers, and they just ran right at them and paved the way. This is going to be a game where Clemson maybe has a chance to run the ball. I think it's like a 10-point game. I'm still not concerned about NC State, like, from a win-loss perspective. I just don't care. I don't care about what NC State's doing. I'm whatever. Ryan Finley threw a pick six in the game. I don't care. I don't care anything about what NC State's doing in their program. If you're a Clemson fan, don't care beans about NC State. You'll be fine.
I think I was more impressed with Notre Dame than I expected to be. And I don't know how many times Notre Dame has to look good on the national stage before I buy them. I don't know what my problem is with Notre Dame. I'm still working through that. That's on me. But gosh, they run the ball. I mean, oh my gosh. And I love how they, I mean, there's no, they don't try to disguise it. They don't try to, you know, pretend they're not going to do it. They're just going to run it down your throat. That's what they do. And they did that on NC State. And NC State, you know, conversely, had no running game of their own. Nothing. They scored 14 points. Seven of those came on a blocked punt. So they really scored 7 points on offense the whole game. And I was just impressed with Notre Dame. Am I buying too much into that? Am I too impressed with Notre Dame?
Maybe. I did think that playing at home, plus NC State was coming off a bye week, but playing with a lot of confidence, it helped Notre Dame. NC State's going to be playing at home this week. And NC State really hadn't played a road game against a good team yet this year. They played at Louisville. Well, now they played
at
Louisville.
They played at Florida State.
That's what I'm saying. They played at Florida State with James Blackman playing quarterback. They hadn't played a road game against a good team yet.
Is it weird, too, that with Notre Dame, one of the reasons I think I can't rationalize that they are a legitimate contender is because of how terrible they were last year? Do I have to just let that go, too?
I think at some point you do, but I'm not mad at you for keeping on with that.
I mean, what a turnaround. And I understand different quarterback, you know, I mean, a different kind of approach in that they are now a very much a run first team, and that seems to benefit them. I mean, obviously, but I guess there's just some things with Notre Dame I just don't quite buy yet. And I think that I might be one of the only ones, because it seems like a lot of people are buying Notre Dame, and rightfully so. And when you look at the rest of their schedule, Kwok, they're at Miami, they're at Stanford. Those are both road games, but I mean, we both think Miami is kind of a paper tiger, right?
Yes.
And Stanford's not that good.
No.
I think they could very well win out.
I think they could win out, too.
And you know the playoff committee will put a one-loss Notre Dame in. They will find a way to get a one-loss Notre Dame in the playoff.
Stanford Pelzer vehemently disagrees with what we're saying. Okay. 9615-66. He says, Coach PJ is nobody's favorite. But these charges are absurd. No legit coach would instruct players to deliberately injure someone. Yes, they would. We have documented evidence over decades in college and the NFL that defensive coordinators and head coaches and strength coaches have had bounty systems on players for decades. If you think head coaches aren't telling people to hurt people or telling people to do things that they know will hurt people, then you're living under a rock. I'm sorry. I'm not, you know, Paul Johnson, he's always been fairly nice to us. Probably as nice to us as anybody. But come on. You don't think that's happening? Read the newspaper once in a while. We have these bounty situations come up every few years. And if you think it's not more widespread than that, again, you're living under a rock somewhere. This happens all the time in football. Hour two, more Clemson, Georgia Tech in college football next.